the baseball bat, chapter 10, focus on grades. On Monday, I decided I needed to practice talking to girls. I decided to start with some girls that were average looking. I noticed that Karen was now sitting in front of Don, and he was kicking her seat. She looked annoyed. At lunch, I approached her and asked how she liked the new seating arrangement. Karen responded, "Would you please dump that moron Don on his head again?" I guess I set myself up for her question. I told her, "No, if I do that again, I'll be in big trouble. I bet if you said something to the teacher, she would finally understand and move him to the front row." Wow, I was now giving advice that didn't include taking some kind of action into my own hands. I knew I was lucky by only getting a warning when I had flipped Don's desk. Karen did talk to the teacher and got Don moved to the front row. I wish I had handled it that way when I'd had the chance. Later that day, I saw Lori studying, so I approached her. Lori got all A's and was pretty much thought of as the smartest student in the class. "Hi, Lori," I said. "Are you all set for the math and spelling test tomorrow?" "Hi, Tom," she said. "I am all set for math, but I have a little more studying to do on spelling. There are some tricky words like theory, friend, and literature, but I'll have them by tomorrow." In my mind, the competition was on. The goal of talking to girls became secondary to the goal of who could get the best grades. I didn't like that anyone could be considered smarter than me. I got off the bus that day, checked in with Carol, and told her I had some homework to do. Ordinarily, the only time I stayed at her house was a bad weather day, and today the sun was shining brightly. I first tackled the spelling words. I spoke theory as three syllables, the-or-ry, and then said it several times. I spoke friend as two syllables, fry-end, and literature I spoke slowly, saying four syllables, literature. I asked Carol to read me the words from the list as I wrote them. I then checked my work, and I had gotten them all correct. Next, I went over the math problems. I had to add and subtract fractions together with different denominators. I knew the concept of finding the common denominator, but if I rushed, I might write down the incorrect numerator when changing the denominator. I spent a little extra time and checked my work. I had to remember the goal was getting 100 and not necessarily being the first to hand in the test. The next day, we took the test in the morning. I took my time and checked my work. I felt pretty good about them. After lunch, the teacher put the grades indicated by percentages on the board. The percent sign was not used. For spelling, there were 3 100s, 3 90s, 180, 570s, 660s, and 250s or below. For math, there was 1 100, 195, 390s, and the rest below 90. I felt pretty good that I had the 100 in spelling. How could I have made a mistake in math? I assume Lori got the 100. The teacher handed back the spelling test. Yes, I got a 100. I decided I should forever call my friends fry ends and say literature as four syllables. I was excited. The teacher then handed back the math test face down. Before turning my paper over, I breathed a few times and shut my eyes. I said to myself that I would be okay with whatever grade I got. I slowly turned the paper a little and saw the 100 and the smiley face. I kept it face down and just breathed. Then I glanced over at Lori. She didn't look very happy. Then she started looking around the room to see who was celebrating the 100, but I didn't smile, and I tried not to look at her. After class, she started asking the better students how they had done. I was the third person she asked. "Tom, how did you do on the math test?" "Oh, I'm pretty good at fractions, I said softly and confidently. I got a 100. How did you do? Well, I thought I knew fractions well, too, but I made a stupid mistake on one problem. Although I was celebrating the victory over Lori inside, I did not let it show on the outside. I had created a game between us, and she didn't even know I was determined to beat her. There were only 4 weeks left in fourth grade, but I had committed myself to turning every test into a competition and trying to finish the last grading period strongly. That evening, we had our game against the Braves, and we're now 5 wins with only 2 losses after beating them soundly. I played a good game at first base, and the parents still shouted, "The Machine!" I had gotten 2 more hits. Stan and Joe each had home runs in the game. Stan now had 2 home runs, Joe had 1, and Will hit 1 earlier in the game. No wonder they were batting 2-3-4. I really wanted to hit a home run, but Coach had asked me to try and swing even and hit line drives. I just couldn't help but think the Detroit Tigers that were famous for hitting home runs. I walked away from that win unsatisfied, even though I had a good game. On Thursday evening, we got beat by the Yankees. It was my first at bat against their pitcher, who had a very herky-jerky motion. I tried to swing a lot harder with a little uppercut. It didn't work. I struck out. I ended up going 0-for-3 that day. I probably shouldn't have tried to change my swing because I was having success. I also probably picked the wrong pitcher with whom to change my batting approach. On Friday, we had our social studies test. I again studied really hard and got a 100. There were 4 100s in the class, and Lori again checked with me to see how I had done. I shared my grade with her, and she wanted me to know that she had gotten a 100 as well. The competition was on. I wish I had started this back in September. On Friday after school, I took a trip down the hill, and Gramps was out working near the lake. I walked toward him and heard the familiar, "Tommy boy," he said. "I haven't seen you very much this week." "Hey, Gramps, how you doing?" "Life can't be better for me. I live by this beautiful lake, have a great wife, get to work at the greatest university, get to look out at the lake and see girls in bikinis, and I get to talk to you," Gramps said with a smile. I'd come down to talk to him about some things, but I got sidetracked when he said bikini. "Oh, where are the bikini girls?" I asked. "Oh, they will be out over the weekend. They just wait until school lets out. They will be out every day." On Saturday, we played against the Tigers. I found this really odd. How did the team get to be called the Tigers? Stan knew a few of the guys on the Tigers, but they told him they were 8-0. We were supposed to play them earlier in the season, but the game had gotten rained out. The Tigers had twin pitchers. Both were short, with almost white hair, and both threw really hard. We had to face them both in this game. The Tigers beat us 7-2. I played a good first base. I tried to get back to my swing that had been successful, but I didn't get a hit. I did walk once and stole a base. We were now 5 wins and 4 losses on the year. Stan asked me to come over and go to the neighborhood game on Sunday, so I agreed. Even though I didn't do well in the last neighborhood game, I'd have a chance to hang with Stan. As it would turn out, I didn't do a whole lot better this time in this neighborhood game, but I had fun. After going with my mother to the grocery store and the laundromat, I headed down the hill, not to look for Gramps this time. I was looking for bikinis and possibly the dream girl I had seen down by the lake. I saw Gramps and asked if I could row a boat, and he happily agreed. I grabbed some cushions from the boathouse and rowed down the lake, but no one was out at Hank's house. I kept rowing and saw girls in bikinis in motorboats on the lake One girl in her late teens waved when she saw me, and I returned the wave. I thought about what Gramps had said about life. Life was pretty good for me, too. I was out on the lake on a bright, sunshiny day, getting exercise and looking at pretty girls. The next week at school, I continued to work really hard at getting good grades and trying not to let little things bother me, using the thinking strategies Gramps had taught me. We played 2 baseball games that week instead of 3 because of 1 rainout. I had a great week at the plate, going 5 for 6 with 1 double, 6 RBIs, and 4 stolen bases. I played a solid first base and made a scoop put out at first in each game. And I played every inning of every game at first base. No one else had played my position. We won both games, and our record was now 7-4. With only 3 games left, this guaranteed us at least a .500 season. One of the rainout games were not going to be able to be made up, so we'd only play 14 games instead of 15. It was going to be tough, though, the last week of the season because we had to play the undefeated Tigers twice and the Yankees once. On Saturday night, we went to my grandparents' house. As usual, I got the update on the Detroit Tigers. They had won again with Denny McClain pitching. Denny was now 7-1 on the season. My mother did not go out and just stayed and visited with her parents. Maybe it was over with Mr. Pete. At least I hoped.